Saturday, March 6th, 2010. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Graham Thickens.
I'm liking the groove this morning.
And Phil, I had beans last night, Wilson.
Buenos dios.
Hey. So, everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Loving this weather. Yeah.
I'm glad that we could have such a fine intro. It's like, Lucy, you got some explaining to do.
Oh, let's not be, you know, Scandinavian guys. In fact, what's Norwegian music? I have no Norwegian music.
What's Norwegian?
Do they even have music?
Oi, oi, oi.
Do they even have music? Oh,
and
man.
And remember to send those cards and letters to phil@remaincalm.com.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Make sure you do calm with two M's, too.
Oh, man. So this past week, you guys, amazing. Now, I missed a couple of events, but I know you guys went and we kicked it off with Cloud Camp. And that was pretty amazing as an event. What were your impressions, Phil?
Well, you know, it was definitely a geek fest. It was a geekier event than I've been to in a long time. I personally enjoy being around some very high level thinking as far as the technical side. But it was a definitely more technical crowd, but interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think, Graham?
Yeah, I agree. It's attended, primarily by developers and IT administrative kind of folks. It's a good mix of the large firms and the startups though. And I hope I brought a little bit of the bigger picture to on the panel, but it did tend to dive into details, a lot of the discussions, down into the nitty gritty. But I think a lot of the guys that attended, and there were several first time attendees. What was it, about 150 people? And
I would say
And I think I heard a lot of good comments that people were getting value out of it. I think cloud. I've been around it a long time, but it's still pretty new to a lot of people. There was a lot of information imparted and by the sponsors, Microsoft and ReliaCloud and Instratus. And unfortunately, Rackspace didn't show. They were a sponsor too. But I was hoping Scoble would have visited our town, but he never seems to quite get here. But anyway, I think it was a success. But I'm of the opinion that, cloud computing is becoming so ever present that I heard a great quote this last week that next year we're just going to call it computing. It's become such a buzzword that it's really everywhere now and you can't get away from the cloud.
But you know what, though? I mean, here was what I was really struck by. One of the most valuable things was that session that we went into, and George kind of looked at me and said, well, it was your question. Go ahead and lead the session. And fortunately, he actually did most of it. But he gave an overview. He actually, put the cloud computing stack up on the board and kind of walked through things. And it really helped everybody in the room to kind of position in their own minds where this all fit. And I think that at the end of the day was what I saw as an issue, is that there's a lot of confusion about what is cloud computing and who's offering what. What's ReliaCloud offering? What's Rackspace and Amazon Web Services? What are they all offering? How is it all differentiated? What's Microsoft doing with their platform as a service along with the infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera? And I thought that was maybe a missing leg to the stool.
There's a lot of hype now about the platform as a service offerings, certainly Salesforce is force.com and Microsoft Azure coming on. I mean, still not quite there. I mean, it's a lot of talk, but they keep promising this, that they have all this wonderful stuff coming. People need to understand what the difference is between, doing your apps on a platform like that and being locked into it, know. Yeah. And
speaking
as opposed to the infrastructure as a service offerings of Amazon and Rackspace and Relia Cloud and so forth.
Right. Well, who went to Ignite on? Was it Thursday night? You did, Phil?
Yeah. Yep, I did.
And
after circling the Bedlam Theater for about 30 minutes looking for a parking spot, you know, over in that area, there's very, very little parking.
Where is this?
I parked at Egan. It's on the Cedar there next, down from 94, you know, in the area around the campus.
Okay.
It was really well attended, great crowd. Liked the venue a lot, as far as there was a detachment from the bar and the actual place where you could watch the presentations. So there wasn't this. I don't think there was quite as much battle that they were dealing with in the first Ignite. And they also learned the lesson not to post, to put a screen up with the tweets live behind the presenter. So
did it get ugly?
That helped a lot.
Did it get ugly?
No, it got ugly the first time. Yeah. No. People started, presenters on stage started, responding to the tweets, and it was, that was nuts. And you know how I feel about that.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. You've made it very, very clear. Thank you very much.
I thought it was a really well done. A couple of standouts. I really enjoyed Pete Berry's thing on Fail. I thought that was really interesting. A very well-timed blue screen of death appeared at the end of his presentation, which was great. And then Irish Girl, and I can never remember her name, with Clockwork, did a presentation on... that's terrible. I know people by their Twitter name and not their real name. great presentation on Bollywood in 5 minutes. And I thought it rocked. I became a big fan.
Huh.
So not of Bollywood, but of her presentation. So.
Now, is there video online anywhere? Do they?
I believe they are posted. They have posted the video. Yes.
Okay. All right.
At Ignite MSP or MPLS. I'm not really sure.
Well, I'll find it and put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes there, brother.
Yeah, yeah. And then how many people
showed up and how late did it go? I got the impression it went really late.
It was a big crowd. I couldn't tell you 200-300 maybe, something like that.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
I have a very hard time. I'm kind of like the press when I try to, depending on my mood. I'll tell you what I think it was. Oh, 10 people showed up or 10,000 showed up. But it was really well attended. And yes, it went quite late. I believe many were up until 1 or 2 in the morning. So.
Wow. And were people like wandering in off the streets of the West Bank, or was it closed off?
I don't think there was much of a walk-in crowd by any means. It was packed, though. It was a really well done event, and I believe they're going to do another one in about 3 months. So
wow.
If you get a chance, they tend to be comedy based presentations. The majority tend to be sort of lighthearted, but I could see some really good stuff.
That's funny. That was comedy. And then the next morning we're meeting at the comedy club for really serious stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. How was SMB on Friday morning? Social media breakfast.
Yeah. Phil and I were there.
And Graham was holding court in the back. He was the man.
Were you pontificating, Graham?
No, it's all, it's the schmoozing. That's so much fun, and running into people face to face that you don't get to see during the week or the month until you show up at one of these things. So, I had to go to get my Girl Scout cookies, first of all.
I was wondering what Robentine was doing there in the back.
Yeah, he's running quite a business for his daughter. And he had roped me in back at the Coco event, that evening event, which was a lot of fun. Over in downtown St. Paul, whenever that was, and yesterday was his delivery day, but it was fun running into a lot of people and picking up the latest and meeting people face to face for the first time, like G.R. Littman from CCO. I hadn't met him in person, and finally did, It was great. And packed out. I mean, I think it's to 350 people, and it was a big venue that could handle that size crowd. So
I really enjoyed that venue. I could stand doing that one again. And I know that I talked to Rick Mon and Mike Robertine, and they were talking about that it would be a good place to have it again. It was the House of Comedy there at the Mall of America. Easy to get to for me, that's for sure.
Well, and it's geared for that sort of a venue.
Yeah, and he's offering that venue up to nonprofits too. He said that Rick, whatever the guy's name is that runs it, I forget his last name now.
Brunson?
Yeah, I think that's it. And, I mean, but it's a really cool place with a really neat bar in front, and I guess if they serve lunches there, it's right on the fourth level east side. And I thought it was great, and very well produced. I mean, hats off to Rick and Michael, and Brian Stemmler did the Ustream feed. And you know, once again, we must have had huge pickup on that, even nationwide, because, the tweets were flying like mad. And Brian Person, I saw, got on the feed down in Austin. I assume he was down in Austin at the time, the founder of SMB. And so I think, and it was great content, great panel. But
Lisa Grimm did a wonderful job moderating that panel. She really
did.
Yes,
she did.
Oh, yeah,
she
wanted to see her do that. Yeah, I wish I could have been there. Doggone it. I'm starting to miss a lot of stuff because it's just, I have work to do now.
So,
I mean, it's not that you guys don't. I'm not implying anything, but, Say,
I know the feeling. I got ribbed by one of my coworkers for not working on the website content I'm supposed to be working on and being at SMB instead.
Yeah. Well, it was really a well done event. I know Michael and Rick were struggling with the PowerPoint deck, but other than that, and I know that they felt bad about the Icona Culture 30-minute infomercial that we let up.
That was a little much,
It was, I've produced more than my fair share of events, and you try to accommodate sponsors as the best you can. I think they felt a little bad that, and I don't know. I think Icona Culture probably took a little bit too much advantage of the venue, and the tweets started turning ugly.
That was way too much for an early morning presentation. And it's interesting stuff, but it's like, couldn't he have just directed people to a longer thing rather than, I mean, he must have gone for 20 minutes plus.
It was easily 20 or 30 minutes.
But I did find it fascinating that this is a company that's been really kind of private and you know, with their own clients. I mean, their website, you can't access all their content because they sell it like Gartner, and now here they are coming out with a social media measurement tool, which apparently is going to be available to anybody, right?
It's a service they sell. So you have to buy the service.
Now, is it at SMB where you ran into Meg Canada, who will be our guest in just a few minutes?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I ran into her at Ignite as well.
Oh.
She's everywhere. She's everywhere.
She is everywhere. She's ubiquitous. Interesting.
So, we are going to speak with Meg. She's gearing up for South by Southwest.
Uh-huh.
In fact, why don't you give Meg a call?
I will do that right now.
Meg is on with us right now. Hi, Meg.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Great.
We were just kind of running down the rather busy week in techie and geek stuff. We had Cloud Camp and Ignite and Social Media Breakfast, and you were at two of those events.
Yes, and it was exhausting. Particularly because Ignite was on Thursday night, and of course, 8 a.m. Friday morning, we had Social Media Breakfast. I think a lot of us were dragging.
Yeah.
Well, you being such a social butterfly, it's hard for you to pull yourself away and actually get some sleep. So
good
to see you.
For those people that don't know Meg, why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm a senior librarian at Hennepin County Library, and I do our community management, taking care of Facebook, Twitter, and other social applications for the library.
Yep. Are you still involved in public training and so forth?
Yes, I am. I am still in charge of that as well. And we're looking at new ways to offer that. So stay tuned, because we're talking about doing more video in particular to let people access kind of that informational instruction anytime, anywhere.
Screencasts, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And tours of libraries and video tips.
Great.
Let's talk about a couple of different things. And Meg will be doing some writing for Minovate from South by Southwest, because you're going to South by for the first time. Am I right?
Yes. And I'm really excited. It's overwhelming, though. I've gotten my South by Southwest profile set up. I just downloaded the iPhone app. And
you don't have to do all that stuff, you know.
Well, nobody's told me that.
No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. You could actually just go and have fun.
Well, and I plan on going and having fun, but I admit that it's the kind of conference that has so much hype.
Yes,
that
very
you
much
really
so.
You really feel like you need to be prepared going in. And when I asked on Twitter for advice, people said, well, make sure you have two or three backups for things that you're going to, because if something's not good, you should just walk right out and walk down the hall to the thing everybody's buzzing about and see that. And I have to admit, that's a little daunting to have two and three backups for each session. And I'm looking at the sessions and trying to pick things that I think will inspire me, both for the library, but mostly for myself, and also for freelance stuff I work on. So
tell me, what's going to be a highlight for you? If you look at the agenda, what are you really looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to sessions about content management, because I think that's something that we need a strategy in content for the library. Also, user experience and usability are areas that I want to learn about. But I'll confess that there's an author named Tim Sanders there who I'm really anxious to meet. He wrote Love is the Killer App, and that's one of my favorite business books, philosophy, you know, sort of, I don't know, he's just, I'm sort of starstruck, so I'm excited about meeting him as
That'll
well.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
And
If you're starstruck, there'll be plenty of stars you'll get to see down there.
Yeah, try not to be one of the guys that follow Scoble around. That's really wrong.
Well, I don't think that'll be a problem, but I am not as good when I am starstruck. I'm kind of nervous about that. There was a children's author, Catherine Patterson, who wrote Bridge to Terabithia.
Ooh, yes.
And when I met her, I think I drooled on her.
That always impresses stars.
I know, right?
You're gonna find that the you're gonna find that the keynotes are a very good opportunity to work on your plan for the day. As keynotes are talking, it's such a huge venue that you have the ability to not only listen but spend a little time working on what your schedule is going to be. And yes, they will. Rooms do fill up, and if the rooms are full, they will not let you in. So always have an idea of where you want to go next. But you also have plenty of opportunities. They make it very accessible to bloggers, lounge, podcast tents, things like that. So take advantage of that as best you can. And of course, the nightlife there will be wonderful, rife with parties and festivities.
Oh, yeah, that's the big part. Wait, yeah. How many days does the interactive portion go, and how many will you be there, Meg?
I will be there starting on Thursday evening until Tuesday morning.
Oh, wow. That's a good long stay.
The conference is March 12th through the 21st. So I leave on the 11th and I'm returning on the 16th.
Yeah, it's a long conference. That's what keeps a lot of us away.
Is South by Southwest I that long? Or
no,
is it
actually I is just through the 16th.
I was going to say,
okay.
You've got interactive film and music. It would be wonderful to do the entire thing, to buy the Platinum Pass and just go nuts. But I got to tell you, it's expensive. The hotel rooms are huge. I was lucky enough last year you remember I did that on the cheap last year, and really had the opportunity to stay with a friend, and it made things a whole lot easier and a whole lot less expensive.
Unless you're on an expense account or have friends down
there. Yes, exactly.
There. If you want to stay for, you know, 4 or 5 days, and I think most people do want to, if they're going to go to something like that, you know, it gets pricey. I mean, I'm sure the hotel rooms book up close to a year in advance. Mm-hmm.
Will the taxpayers of Hennepin County be funding this for you, Meg?
No, actually, I'm doing this as a freelancer for my good friend, Nicole DeBeaufort at Fourth Sector Consulting.
Good. Excellent.
Good.
And I'm looking forward to following her lead as well. She also suggested the keynotes be something that we not schedule over. So I appreciate you reinforcing that one, Phil. Yeah. And I'm looking also at what she's doing. She's actually also attending the film portion. So she has a gold pass. And I'm just attending the interactive, which seems to be more than enough.
Yes, more than enough. It is. But plan to do a lot of walking. It's a lot of fun. It's a great little downtown area. You'll enjoy it immensely. Let me ask you about, we're talking a lot about publishing and books and the birth of the iPad and how it's going to save the print medium. Tell me about how do you see libraries reacting to things like readers and the iPad? Do you feel that that's going to be a...
We're not there yet because of our vendors. And again, this is something I've talked with you about in the past. We have two or three vendors right now that are providing eBooks. And unless the book is being published in a PDF format or an HTML format, it's really just not going to be available through a library because of digital rights management issues and copyright. There is no library vendor who's working on a Kindle format. The Nook, because it displays PDFs, may be an option. Actually, there was a recent cartoonist who did like a 10-panel cartoon showing someone trying to download a book from the library for their e-reader. And by the 9th panel, they had given up and gone to another source to get the content. So it's just really not something that's viable right now. And
I was going to say, it looks like the iPad is going to have the FairPlay DRM on it like iTunes content does. So wouldn't that open up an opportunity for a library to lend out these books?
Well, iTunes isn't an option for us. There's no way we could circulate music via iTunes based on the current model. So I don't
know.
Right,
just the bookstore, which is going to have DRM on it if that's one of the issues.
Yeah, that's a stopper. So at this point, not really an option. You know, one thing that libraries have done in the past is actually to get the device and put the content on it and then lend the device. If the price of e-paper or e-ink goes down to the point where we can do that, I think that's a possibility. Certainly, there have been libraries that have circulated iPods, have circulated shuffles, have circulated things like PlayAway, which is a format that's a one volume, if you will, audiobook.
Well, when you're down at South by Southwest and you're sitting in a content management session and you're learning some things about what's new.
Cursing your iPhone, by the way.
Yeah. No, AT&T is supposed to have a lot of connectivity down there. They're preparing because they don't want to get a black eye again.
Well, they've got to realize that there's going to be more iPhones, too. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. Sure. But when I think about content management, and one of the pluses, for instance, Tim, you and I have talked about this, is about using WordPress and using the mobile plugin and being able to present to mobile devices with the same content, and it just automatically reformats. Well, it's the same thing with user interfaces, and people are already starting to talk. I'm following a lot of these design blogs that are talking about how to optimize a user interface for both a mouse-driven and a finger-driven interface. And so when you're sitting in these content management sessions, are you thinking about, well, yes, the website, but also a target of a mobile device, whether it's an iPhone or an iPad, and then also how do you potentially manage the delivery of e-something, e-books, e-texts, e-PDFs, whatever it ends up being?
You know, there's one library in the country that I'm aware of that has a mobile app right now. We are not, we're really anxious to build something and figure something out, especially when you talk about combining the content with the power of the location, the physical location, going into the library and having the catalog there and easy to manage on a phone or on a computer or on an iPad. Yeah, definitely it's something I'll be looking for, more information about mobile and how to integrate that. But ultimately we have outside vendors we have, you know, that we work with to provide our catalog at this point. And we're going to go through a large redesign in the coming year for our website and what we're calling our discovery tool. And that's the catalog. So hopefully we'll be able to choose content management and cataloging software that allows us to be more flexible.
Yep.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you know, you've got a lot on your plate to look forward to at South by Southwest and a lot of things happening at the library. We're looking forward to seeing your posts. Lots of video. We like the video.
That's right.
Okay. I hear you.
Nothing too incriminating, but
I want to know if you're going to the Mima karaoke throwdown thing down there on
Hagioki?
Yeah, yeah, on Monday night, March 15th.
It's on my schedule because I know that Jillian Reynolds, who's a local friend karaoke superstar, has in fact competed last year and will be in this year's competition. And I know Christina Halverson, who is also local Illuminati, is going to judge.
Cool, yeah. So apparently there's a lot of local Mima people going down for the event.
Well, it's that, you know, it's that I-35 thing. It's just so darned easy.
Point yourself south and set the cruise control, right?
Yeah. Meg, we're looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear from you, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Be safe. Travel safe and enjoy yourself.
Thanks. I'll be in touch.
Thanks, Meg. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was nice to have her on.
Yeah, it's nice to have her visit with us a little bit. We're looking forward to that. She'll start doing some posts next week, so look forward to it. Steve, I wanted to reference back. I had spoken about Ignite and Irish Girl, and I wanted to make sure that I give her proper, you know.
By first calling her a woman, as my wife would say.
It's just like an Irish Girl. No, it's Megan Wilker is her
name.
Megan
Wilker.
Yeah, okay. She's the managing director of Clockwork, and just so I wanted to go back to that.
Great. Excellent. Yeah, I heard her talk.
I want to make sure people get their props. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Well, hey, let's talk about what's becoming palpable, and that is the verge of, or at least people discussing that we're on the verge of an explosion of growth. We've all kind of talked about this before, about the maturation of open source software like WordPress and Drupal and how things are becoming easier to use. And then you're seeing things like Posterous, who, by the way, just raised another $4.4 million
Because they were running a little light.
Yeah, right. And Tumblr and all the things, the opportunities that present itself with new device types and, you know, Jolly Cloud and Chrome OS for netbooks connected to the cloud, and Apple building out a data center, and Google doing the same, and Microsoft continuing to do the same. And, you know, there's all of this investment going on in the building blocks and the foundation and investments by Verizon and AT&T in the networks, and the networks are getting faster, and Comcast and other cable companies are building out faster broadband, and then the whole Google thing that Duluth is after with broadband, and add to that all the mobile devices, and what are you guys, Tim, what are you thinking about when you're thinking about opportunities for this year with all this stuff that's happening kind of concurrently? What sorts of things are you seeing?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of movement to the mobile space. And by the end of the year, I think that if you don't have a mobile version of your web presence, you're going to be sort of locked out of a lot of opportunity. And you know, I think that the iPad's going to definitely move a lot of people mobile. There's a lot of other competitive devices like that. The Dell has a 5-inch jumbo phone, if you will, but it's also a slate. And of course, the iPhone is going to continue to grow. So, and that app infrastructure. So, whether it's an app or whether it's just making your website accessible to mobile devices, I think that's going to be a requirement, really, and not just a nice thing to have.
Table stakes to be in the game.
Yeah, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with mobile commerce. I know that. You know, you've seen stuff like Square, where you have a way to take micropayments or take credit cards basically on your iPhone. Stuff like that is going to be also very interesting to watch.
Yeah, from the founders of Twitter, right? Or one of the founders.
Yeah, one of the co-founders of Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. So when you're talking about an explosion of growth, Steve, you're talking about an explosion of content, but also an explosion of ways of accessing that content.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. So this goes back to my time at Apple in 98, 99. I learned, because I didn't know the numbers, I learned that there were 50,000 people in Minnesota that were somehow connected to the printing and publishing industry, whether they were designers in the pre-press space, they actually work for printing operations, and you guys know, like Business Week and all these major publications were printed or are printed at Brown Printing in Waseca.
Sure.
And I personally know of many designers, and in fact, Jen Kane talked about this, Phil. About having maybe some sort of a South by Southwest like conference in Minnesota with all the film people here and all the people that are in advertising and graphic design and on and on. And here's been the issue that I've seen. There was this explosion of desktop publishing and the tools, you know, the whole democratization of publishing, the tools became something that somebody with a credit card and some talent could go out and buy a box and the software and they'd be in the game because there was a target, there was an end outcome and output being print. And the same sort of thing hasn't happened. There's been this array of opportunities, but nothing really focused. And when I think about Microsoft Courier, that tablet that they've been showing, the iPad, iPhone, in this Dell Slate that you mentioned, Tim, and there's a lot of other kinds of devices that, you know, if you read Engadget or Gizmodo, you can't help but see all the tablet prototypes and all of that. It'll be just really interesting to see if the targets are the same. You know, maybe PDF will be the target. Maybe that will be the end delivery format.
I think it's going to be native apps, actually.
Do you?
I think you have to have a native app on an iPhone, and I think increasingly you're going to have a native app on the Android platform, and then for other devices, just have a mobile optimized website that presents the site in a mobile friendly kind of way, and I think that's really going to be where we're going to get to at the end of the year, is that you're going to have these two apps, and then make sure that your site is accessible to other devices as well.
Well, yeah. It was interesting because I read. Do you guys follow Hacker News at all?
No, the site.
It's the Y Combinator startups that these guys can put links into interesting articles, and a lot of the stuff we see anyway, it's on TechCrunch and Read Write Web and so forth. But there was an interesting article about Flash and the whole controversy going on about no Flash on the iPad, and this guy got into PDF, he got into any relatively proprietary format, but even open formats. And then he tied it together with Google's continued push on streamlining the web and even how they're even modifying their page rank to favor light home pages. So they're trying to push everyone to make lighter, faster content delivered via the web. So rather than count on the fact that we're going to have a ton of broadband, if you really think about this big shift toward the mobile web, we're going to be competing with a lot of other mobile devices and people for bandwidth. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not like this is going to go on forever. So does that, well, in some ways that sort of emphasizes what you just said, Tim, about the delivery, that it won't be delivered in a target format of any kind. It'll sort of be repurposed content, and the true separation of content and presentation. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Yeah, and it's like the way I consume blogs now on the iPod Touch. I have Byline, which is one of the better RSS aggregators for the iPhone iPod Touch, and I don't use it as much because it just doesn't present the information in a rich way. But I do find myself hitting, especially Engadget dedicated and the Mashable dedicated apps that they've built for them. And I find that it's much easier to consume their content via their apps.
Got it.
Than through an RSS aggregator.
Well, what about those mobile plugins for WordPress? I know that I use one, WP Touch, and you use a different one.
Well, no, I've been using WP Touch too, and then I found that there's another one too. I'll get it for the show notes, but it's the first one. It's the WordPress Mobile Edition, I think it's what it's called, and you can use that together with WP Touch and just turn off Android and iPhone in that one, and then every other smartphone and dumb phone will get some sort of mobile app. So, you know, I'm finding that those two together are actually working pretty well for WordPress sites.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Because then you can deliver to a BlackBerry, a Trio 750, whatever.
Yeah. There's also several other
Who uses
ones.
A Trio 750?
Well, I know a guy that uses a 650.
Really?
Jeez, you got to stop. Yeah. You got to start hanging out with a better class of people.
Yeah. I think he's on Sprint where he can get like a Palm Pre for $50 now if he wants one.
Really?
Yeah, they can't give those things away, can they?
That's the question. Who wants one?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it's it is going to be interesting how this all shakes out. But Phil, you know the MixMobi folks well, and their approach, and I'm assuming that this is, you know, analogous to what they're doing as well, but optimizing for a specific company or organization.
You bet. MixMobi is very intrigued by obviously the advances in mobile, and it's not. I think that from a mobile standpoint, it's not just phones anymore, and that's the one thing I think people still have a hard time getting past. You know, when you say mobile now, everybody thinks of a cell phone or a smartphone, and that's just not the case anymore. There are many platforms that will be considered mobile. You know, the nice thing about MixMobi, they've done a great job at designing for things to actually render correctly on all of these multiple platforms. I quite frankly don't know how they keep up, but they do. And so that's been great. But, you know, speaking of mobile and this always on, always connected concept, Albert Marucci made a really interesting point on the Mobile March site about the concept of mobile is less about technology. It should be thought about less as technology, and thought we should think more of the actual end user, the user of this of mobile. Think of mobile more as a lifestyle, less as a technology.
Right.
And I think that's very true. We're a mobile society. This moving around, this wanting to be connected all the time. I think there is big things coming in that arena. I don't know if it necessarily translates into an explosion, as you talked, Steve, because I think an explosion really hinges on monetization, and I still don't know if the monetization models are there yet. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would disagree, and I would disagree only from the standpoint of, I'll just speak for myself, and I'm sure, Tim, because you're doing a lot of WordPress stuff too, that you're running into the same thing, but there are, the strategic positioning of WordPress because it can also, I mean, it can do content management. It can also deliver blog content beautifully. But the big thing is strategically is being able to deliver to a mobile platform. And so everybody that I'm designing things for and creating sites for, I mean, that's again, like you had said, Tim, I mean, it's table stakes to be in the game. It's a huge benefit because it's, I mean, I remember when I was at Vignette, who, by the way, used to be in Austin. Well, no, they're probably still in Austin. They got bought by OpenText. The whole point was that the separation of content from presentation would allow it to be delivered to any device. And remember when WAP was the buzzword du jour when it came to mobile phones? I can't remember what WAP stands for now.
Wireless Access Protocol.
Protocol. Thank you. Yes. And
wow, that was really incredibly geeky for you. I get from Steve. That's great.
Oh, I'm just the acronym dude.
There you go.
But ask me anything.
Chief acronym officer.
I got Google in front of me. I can tell you what any acronym is, you know.
I can't tell
you what WEP is, but I do remember WAP. But that's kind of old hat you were saying.
Well, it is because what ended up happening was everybody had to essentially create two websites, one that was regular and one was that was mobile. That there really wasn't sort of a standard easy way to deliver to mobile devices, and it never took off, never went anywhere. And I'm really torn because, you know, Tim, you had said about the dedicated applications. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at Wells Fargo's iPhone app, and there have been several times where, my daughter, for instance, has said, "Daddy, I need $200." You know, so it's like, okay. And I'm not going to be at a computer for like 2 hours, and I can log on with the Wells Fargo app, go in, make the transfer, and it's done. And it's very focused on being able to do just certain things. I mean, you can't do everything, but the functions that it has and the ease with which you can get in and do certain things is optimized for a mobile device.
Yeah, yeah, I think my bank, M&I, has that same thing too. I haven't used it yet, but I'm planning to.
Yeah, I think that, you know, these mobile apps, they're optimized for these kind of glanceable moments or these like very quick, you're quickly in and out. So the iPhone particularly is, you know, this kind of device where you can dip in for just a few minutes. You're in line and you want to read a blog. So you can just like hit the Engadget app and read what's happening, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, like your Wells Fargo app, you can go in and make a quick transaction. So it's stuff like that that's optimized for that platform, which is very different than on a desktop computer. So we finally got to this place where the device has not a shrunk down version of Windows or the Mac. It's its own thing. So that's why I'm kind of excited when the iPad comes out, where you have this larger screen to work with, that we're going to see all of this, all sorts of different innovations, particularly around books and magazines.
Well, the other thing that's really driving mobile use is social networks. I mean, ComScore came out with some numbers this last week that 11% of mobile users are using social networking sites via their mobile browser. And that's up, you know, almost 50% from a year ago. And 31% of smartphone users are accessing their social networks with their mobile devices, and that's probably double what it was a year ago as well. So these are the sites that have led the way with optimization, I think. Facebook and all the Twitter apps and so forth. It's what I spend most of my time doing with my iPhone.
Well, and Greg Littman at WCCO, you know, who does the news and sports producing, was discussing the triangulation of TV, the cloud, and the device, and how more of us, I mean, we all are guilty of it. You, Tim, especially during sports adventures. But, you know, whether it's the Olympics or now Sunday night, the Oscars. I can just imagine laying on the sofa with my iPhone tweeting like crazy as different things are happening. Because it's as though it's bringing back the shared experience that we used to have when everybody would stand around the water cooler the day after, Burt Reynolds was on The Tonight Show. I know I'm dating myself.
Those were good shows. Doggone it. I miss Johnny.
But it would be like the next morning. God, did you see such and such? Well, we don't have those shared experiences anymore unless it's a live event. You know, everybody's watching the Super Bowl. They're not recording it on their DVR and watching it later. And so they're tweeting in real time and doing things in real time. So I think there's going to be more and more real-time events and more connection that way. And those kinds of devices will be there. But, you know, just real quickly on the whole growth thing, yeah. I'll still come back to the fact that there's a guy who I know pretty well who was an art director at a publications house and ended up going off on his own. And for about, I'd say, a 7 or 8 year period, the guy was making packaging, was creating and developing files. He was an illustrator maven, and he was using Quark, and he was laying out packaging. And the guy, honest to God, was making money hand over fist. And then all of a sudden, the work started to go away as less and less stuff was being delivered in print and in packaging specifically, and more was going digital. His business started to downtrend. And frankly, he's been looking, and we've been talking a lot, he's been looking for new opportunities to take everything that he knows how to do and deliver it in a new medium, in a new way. And that's why he's excited about what's happening with the iPad.
The iPad in particular.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Exactly.
He should be. Yeah.
You still need great design.
We got a kind of a new wave coming here in content creation.
Yep, yep.
And we have a ship date for it too. It's going to be on April 3rd.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a ship date now? I thought it was the 26th of March.
No, it's the 3rd. Yeah. I saw Scoble's tweet right when he did it saying he'd be in line at the Palo Alto store.
Yeah.
All right. Scoble's used up his mentions for the day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, pre-orders start actually in
March
in a week.
10th, right?
The 12th.
12th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do that on apple.com. And it's just going to be the Wi-Fi version that's available right away. It's going to be at least a couple weeks more, right, Tim, for the 3G?
Yeah, but I think that they're going to open up the pre-order on that at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait longer, and other countries are going to have to wait a few weeks longer. It's just going to be U.S. only for most of April.
Well, let's wrap up with the upcoming events. Mobile March.
Yes. We have about 25 or 30 slots still open. Want to extend that offer or extend that invite, particularly to marketers. I know marketers don't like to do Saturday events, but we'd love to have you come out. I think it's a very vital. The great thing about this conference is the convergence of developers and business. And I hope we can... really get some good activity as far as these people talking to each other and what could be developed, what could be used. Also, of course, we'll be hearing from South by Southwest folks.
Yep.
And what else is coming up?
Well, I saw a good one, a MEMA event coming up, Ethics Around Social Media, on Wednesday, March 24th at Nicollet Island Pavilion.
Okay.
That sounds like it could be a good one.
Do you have any information as to who's presenting in that?
They don't say, they do. Yeah, I'm just clicking now on the page. Did they announce who is speaking? They should have. Let me get a look here. Ah, Mike Kelleher and Michael Fleming of, it looks like a lawyer, Larkin Hoffman. And Mike Kelleher is client relationship manager now at Fast Horse, consumer marketing firm.
Mike is a very bright guy, and that should be a great presentation.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm going to miss it because I'll be in California. I have to miss that and Mobile March, darn it.
Why, Graham, why are you going to be in California?
Well, as I said in our last podcast, it's demo the 21st to the 23rd. And so I'm going to hang in California for about 6 days after that. My first chance to get out there since last September. It's crazy. I want to spend more time out there, and it's just so hard to break away. But this is my big chance, so hoping for good weather and good waves and certainly good conferences. And there'll be a ton of really, really interesting companies launching a demo. Unfortunately, I can't tell you who they are, or they'd kill me. No, I don't even know who they are. We won't know until the weekend before. So
okay.
Hopefully I'll be able to blog about who the presenters are on about the 19th or 20th of March. But they keep it all a big secret right till the last minute. But there'll be many, many social media companies and mobile companies. It's always heavy on the consumer internet side, although it's not exclusively consumer internet, but really looking forward to it.
Well, I'm going to go. I'm going to be demoing the website that I built in 1997.
So good for
it's
you.
7 pages, all linked together with a menu.
Well, so. I would also like to point out that I have been using mobile banking technology for years. I think for my entire adult life. It's called a credit card. So.
Okay.
Oh, that secure form of commerce, huh? Yeah, I love the way that guy made the comment at Cloud Camp that people go on and on about the security of the cloud. It's like they've been using credit cards for years. They give out the number over the phone to strangers.
Yeah.
You know, they let the waiter run off with it in restaurants, and it's like, and you're going to talk about security issue in the cloud? You know, come on.
Oh,
Tim, also we've got the overnight challenge. Is not too far off.
Yeah, it's coming in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, we'll be 59 minutes into it.
Wow.
Yeah, that should be exciting.
Oh, that's right. We won't be able to podcast. We'll have to figure something
out. I think
we
should podcast from there myself.
Do a remote. Yeah, live remote.
Hey, I'll come over there.
Sure. I'll bring my headset.
We'll make it happen, baby.
Although we'll probably have to do it later than we normally do it, because at 9 o'clock, we're going to get our...
assignments.
We're assigned to, and we're going to have to swing into action.
Yep. Nope. That's right.
So maybe
that's
later
right.
in
I
the
think
day.
I think it would be better to do a podcast about 3 a.m. because that would be
that would be good.
Yeah.
By the way,
had my 6th Chipotle burrito.
Right.
Bring
your clothespins for your nose, because that room gets a little ripe about that time in the morning.
Oh, man.
Especially after many Chipotle burritos. Yes.
God. And it gets so hot. And it's quite an event.
And before we go, Graham, WEP, Wired Equivalent Privacy.
Oh, you got
not
me.
To be,
that,
not
man.
To be erroneously used as wireless encryption protocol. It is Wired Equivalent
Privacy. Ah. Well, talk about worthless facts we don't need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's been hacked as a protocol anyway. So.
I know my place.
Yeah. Well, also we have Mini WebCon. I know it's in April. It's April 12th. Okay. But Minovate's going to be the media sponsor for that. And if you want to register, you should get cracking on that, everyone who's listening. And last year, gosh, there must have been 300 or 400 people at that event. And it was a good one.
And is it also, held at the U, and where is it this
it's
year?
Held at the U. It's going to be at it's on the St. Paul campus at the Continuing Education and Conference Center.
Oh, that's where the overnight website challenge is. That's a great
venue.
Oh, it is.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's an awesome venue.
It's
I love the
too.
Hopefully they'll have it aired out by
yeah, let's hope exactly. They'll bring in the big fans.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
Hey guys, well listen, have a great week.
Yay, you
yeah,
too.
You too.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We'll see ya.